The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. The Christian Zionists are back, ladies and gentlemen. I can feel it on the social media. We are back in a George Bush cycle of, there's oil, and maybe we're going to do war, and... You know, Jeff, I disagree with you on this one. I can see them rising. I can see them dissociating. People who have been up for questioning Jewish influence in America are refalling into the same trap that led us to completely useless wars. Absolutely useless. And it's happening again right in our face, and there seems to be nothing we can do. We're just going to have to watch in awe as America is thrown back into this Christian Zionist super alliance with Israel, as if the world had not progressed in the last 10 years with influencers capable of addressing this issue. It's as if our political class has failed at creating an option for anti-Zionism. Blanket says, JF, you see this? What is wrong with these people? Well, the link you sent me is not responsive. Oh, maybe it's because you included the word did at the end. What if I delete this? Okay, Michigan Rep. Lori Pohutsky will voluntarily sterilize herself to avoid pregnancy in Donald Trump's America. Well, it's like... Was she gonna have a baby? These sterile Democrats, I don't know that they need a fallopian tube surgery to be sterile. Self-sterilization, so be it. Self-elimination from the evolutionary game. Today we will review Jan Carroll's two videos. First, a video where he was commenting on the Gaza commentary of Trump, and he was doing a reflection that sides with the neocons. Now, in his kind of apology, or in his second video that he did, it's not an apology, it's not a full-throated apology, but he's kind of framing it as, oh, well, I was presenting you the angle of Trump. I mean, I will question this. I think that Jan Carroll was saying Trump's project is the best project. And there are consequences to these new thinkers rising that seem to somehow not have known about. I don't know how old he is. Did he go through the cycles of Middle Eastern wars? Maybe that's because he's younger than me and he didn't. But it's like he's making the song that the neocons want to hear about a pragmatic analysis of the Middle East. And there's a problem when you're this kind of hipster, pragmatic thinker. Hey, I just want to do what's best, you know? We just got to do what's best at this point, you know? And when you think like this, you are easily manipulated by Zionist interest. And here in Jan Carroll, we have a very surprising case, because here's someone who spends his days talking about conspiracies, who spends his days talking about Zionism and the influence of Zionism over America. He even held against Elon on that subject. This is the guy to whom Elon had said, what am I missing? And he had written this long text. So he's aware of the issue. of how Jews come to manipulate American policy to their interest, but somehow he's not able to see that in this case, being pushed toward the pragmatic, oh, well, at this point, Gaza is destroyed. Oh, well, at this point, you know, what would be best for the people who are stuck in Gaza? You are entering the final moments of a genocide here. It's not something to be taken purely pragmatically. Because you are saying, well, the genocide is 95% done. Why not finish it? Why not finish the ethnic cleansing? You know, let's transport them by boat. Now, the problem when you are in mood of how do we make people better? How do we make less suffering? And this is exactly the grid of analysis that Jan Carroll is suggesting. The problem when you're stuck in that analytic grid is people will create a situation where the least suffering is exactly what they wanted from the start. It's like, oh, the least suffering for the Gaza people would be to deport them. Well, okay, but why is that? It's because they're getting bombed. They're getting bombed by Israeli bombs funded by US government, subverted by American Jews. That is what you participate to when you say, let's take a big boat and carry them all into some other place where they don't get bombed. You are playing the pragmatic game of finishing people's genocide for them. And you can't apply a pragmatic view to everything, or else you become the slave of the genociders, of those with no principles. So there are other solutions than this, but somehow there is currently a pressure in the public space to talk of these solutions as solutions of the past that can't possibly work. Like the idea that since the Palestinians belong in Israel, where they had their lands taken and they were the victim of a genocide, an ethnic cleansing, and they were pushed into their current enclaves, that they be given a piece of that territory which was taken from them by force, that they be given independence on that territory, and that Israel assumes that for its existence as it stands now, it had to commit a genocide. And that carrying these people by boat would be to help them finish it. John Drake says, yep, stop the bombing and they can rebuild quickly. Europe did it in World War II. Blanket says, JF, I heard China now wants to get involved now. I mean, it's a case where America is really alone at this point, because there's been anti-war leftism rising across the world, and you know, in European countries and the whole Russia-China axis, you have a generation of people who are not fine at all with the concept of eliminating or displacing the Palestinians. And they stood there with their lives at risk with the idea of forcing a choice in their torturer, forcing a choice that either you kill all of us or we live here. And that is the last stand of the victimized population in humanitarian needs. It's to say, I'm ready to die, but you're going to have to kill me. That is a quite honorable position to stand in. Not that I have concerns for the Gazans. I don't care about them. They are another people to me. But it's kind of a 300 stand, you know, the 300... people who fought in the movie, they kind of stood there and said, we're going to make it as hard for you as we can. We don't care if we die. Chuck Garrity says, the noticing has been increasing tremendously. Let's have a look at a couple of news before we jump full into the Jan Carroll's video, and I will comment sentence by sentence on what he says.
So left the pharmacy and insurance isn't covering medications anymore.
your cosmetic hormonal change is gonna be at your expense That is absolutely beautiful. You want to change appearance, change voice, change your sexual characteristics? Yeah, just pay for it.
Thanks to executive orders that were signed, so I had to pay for them out of my own pocket. And I guess I'm just mostly recording this as an I told you so to certain family members that I warned.
Well, that's it. The trans people will now need... Their life has become less viable because they have to take over their shoulder the responsibility of the cost they induce into society. All right, let's get started on Ian Carroll. So it all started with this video, which got him a lot of backlash, and he doesn't seem to understand why. And he seems to be kind of an open-minded guy who approaches far-right ideas sometimes because he's into conspiracies and he's into Jewish control of America. He's into AIPAC criticizing. But at the same time, first, he's a very special guy who emerged in this kind of TikTok culture of filming yourself and having a background and pointing. Like, the first time I saw this style of filming was with an astrologer, and she was like, so Jupiter is aligned with the moon, and so Trump is going to get elected here, and here you can see the Saturn ascendance. And she was pointing behind her while filming herself. Ian Carroll is the man who has exploded in popularity recently for popularizing this type of filming with a kind of hipster, careless, kind of, I'm relaxed while I talk about all these things, but here's why it's important, kind of condescending approach to public education. He got very popular with a couple of viral videos because people were excited as he was getting deeper and deeper into the conspiracy. But at the same time, I knew there was a limit with this guy, in that he's always, he has an approach where it's always, oh, well, there's two sides. There's two sides. And there's not two sides to every issue. The truth is very often just one side. And when you dilute with two sides, you end up diluting toward falsehood and diluting toward manipulation. So to me, the non-principled thinkers of that kind that are mostly utilitarian thinkers, I would say they are behaviorally utilitarian. They think in terms of how do we make the situation better now? How do we use the facts of the current world? And they let themselves be manipulated in adopting this approach. Here he was saying in front of the Trump announcement, unpopular opinion, there seems to be more to Trump's plan for Gaza than meets the eye. As I say a million times in this video, I'm not necessarily for it, but I also don't have a better solution. And to all my American first homies, I would argue that Israel's level of subversion of the US government makes actively dismantling Israel's global power systems an America first priority. I'm not sure it justifies boots on the ground taking land like this, but I'm not sure how else you do it now that we're at this point. I welcome others' thoughts on it. Now let the flame wars commence. So, kind of an inoffensive text accompanying the video, but once you listen to the video, you realize that he's trying to make the case that solving the Gaza situation to the liking of Israel will stop Israeli influence over America. Which is an absolutely wild, unjustified premise to his whole argument that, hey, if there wasn't the Gaza situation, Israel would stop needing to subvert the US. Aren't you against the subversion of the US? Well, why don't you want to solve the Gaza crisis? That is one of the most subversive, idiotic, historically misinformed talking point that I've seen in my life. And so I'm not surprised that people were pissed at him and people, okay, I'm sure he got harassed, you know, and he got insulted, which I don't encourage, but I can understand why it led to this kind of reaction. Because here you are talking about, let's 6D chess Israel, and there's no such thing. The power of Jews over American society will not stop, even if you were to clap fingers and solve the Gaza issue out of nowhere. There is no reason for them to do so. The conquest of America is not merely for the purpose of Gaza. It's for the whole of the interest of the Jewish diaspora across the world. It is for the positioning within institutions like medical state apparatus, institutions like banks, institutions like the academia, completely dominated by Jews. It is so much broader than Gaza. And in fact, you could argue that the Jews sometimes work against the Gaza issue because many Jews have penetrated American institutions and are actually Jewish liberals who are anti-war. You even have the comedian, you know, what's his name? I forget his name, but this comedian who's basically an anti-Zionist kind of comedian who appears in debates, pro-Palestinian. So you have a very complex entity that has taken over the U.S., and this entity is not merely trying to solve the Gaza problem. So a first false premise already into the text.
This video is going to be super unpopular. There's no winning here. So
he knew that he was headed toward a bad idea that people would find bad, but he justifies it by kind of explaining that it's just a tough subject. There is no easy solution. Well, there is the solution to stand on principle. There is the solution to not side with the genocide. There is a solution to at least advocate to stop funding that genocide. Already we have a program here that makes sense.
So yesterday Trump announced
And by the way, this would all be in line with what Trump has said in terms of America first. America first would mean not to cut all of the foreign aid except Israel. It would mean to cut all of the foreign aid, including Israel.
That he wants to send American troops to take Gaza for America. And at first glance, this is like Bibi's wet dream, and he seems like he's eating it up because this has been the plan all along. They were never here for peace. They never wanted the hostages. They wanted to flatten Gaza and colonize it with more Israeli settlers until eventually...
Okay, so here you see he has an understanding of the problem. So he's not one of these deluded people who just thinks there's nothing wrong in what Israel is doing with Gaza. So he knows that this is what... He knows that Israel, he has stated as much, that they are engaged in an ethnic cleansing of Gaza, that they are lying about it, that they are purporting to be for peace and peace talks, but that the only thing that they're really interested in is full bombing of the region so that it's unviable.
Eventually, Gaza is no more, then they can turn to the West Bank and deal with that. And America's been kicked in the dick by Israel so many times for so long that it makes perfect sense to just take that read of the situation.
So he is also aware that America is held by the balls by Israel.
Trump has accepted huge amounts of money from Zionists like the Adelsons. He's got all kinds of Zionist ties. He's proclaimed his allegiance to Israel many, many times. But when we try to...
But. I can't believe there's a but to this. A but to... Oh yeah, it's ethnic cleansing what's happening. It's deceptive. It's being done subversively. Oh, and they are holding the balls of the most powerful men in the world. But, well, you're going to have something big to pull a butt on this.
Give an explanation for what we see in the world. You have to actually see, like, what is actually happening, every little thing about it has to be explained by your thesis. If there's...
So here there's an epistemological error. He seems to claim that if you have a thesis about the world, it has to explain everything. No, a thesis can be correct, but can be partial in its domain of explanation. So you can have the theory of gravity. The theory of gravity may not explain anything else, may not explain why the sun shines, but it can explain gravity within the domain of gravity concerns. A theory doesn't have to be omniscient. A theory doesn't have to be a theory of everything. You can prove that he's wrong here simply by stating this. If what he says is true, a theory must explain everything. Then there's no difference between a theory and a theory of everything. We wouldn't have the term theory of everything.
Something that's not explained by it, then your thesis might be wrong.
No, if something is not explained by a thesis, it doesn't indicate that it could be wrong. It indicates that there may be another domain of application, another science to discover to explain this separate fact. Or it may be a fact that is actually compatible, but not explained by the theory.
Because the real explanation for what's really going on explains everything that's going on.
Well, it is the real explanation, if it is a theory of everything.
If there's something off, you should look at that. Before we get too deep into this, let's be clear.
If there's something contradictory, you should look into it.
I am not optimistic. I am super concerned. Either that Trump is going to do a half-assed job of this and then Israel will swoop in and continue.
So notice the concern here. This is why he's getting pushed back. You are concerned that Trump will do a half-assed job with an operation of deportation of 2 million human beings against their will out of their ancestral homeland. So you are worried that Trump will do a half-assed job with it. You are de facto, just through this sentence, siding with the ethnic cleansing of Gaza. You are saying, my only worry is that it's not going to be cleaned enough.
Continue what they started, or that Trump is playing everybody and it's really just a play for his donors from Israel and it's actually just an Israel thing. But there are...
So, and his second worry is that the job could be left fully on that Trump is merely here, negotiating, leveraging his power, talking about stuff out there to just throw people off and throw some red herrings. But his worry then is that the job will be left completely into the hands of Israel. But it is the responsibility of Israel, or you are invoking America into another Middle Eastern conflict again.
Are pieces of evidence of what's going on here that point to a bigger play that we should all at least be aware of. And
so here is theory of a bigger play, a 6D chess being pulled against Israel.
And one can hope. Okay, so here is the part that doesn't make sense. Trump and Bibi's relationship has been strained lately. It's been weird. Trump has recently
It didn't seem strained at all when Bibi was talking friendly with him, smiling, and Bibi was enjoying everything that Trump was saying. And in fact, you had advertisements in Israel saying, thank you, Donald Trump. Thank you, America. Because basically what has been happening in this meeting with Bibi is not so much that we're sure that Trump is being real about this whole Gaza thing and involving American forces in demining the area. That can be left on the side as maybe it's Trump bullshit. But one thing for sure that happened in this meeting is there was a moral benediction of Israel's plan for ethnic cleansing of Gaza. Basically, Trump said, oh yeah, it's our project, actually. Yeah, that's what we want to do. Oh yeah, we want ownership. We want to own it. Now, it doesn't matter if he owns it or not at the end. What matters to Bibi Netanyahu is that a benediction was given to commit ethnic cleansing in full. A benediction was given to normalize the idea of transporting Palestinians against their will.
He shared Jeffrey Sachs calling Netanyahu.
Which, by the way, throughout this whole bombing campaign, Bibi Netanyahu has been saying again and again, oh no, we're not interested in Gaza at all. No, that's not what we're doing. No, it's just a security operation. Well, that was a lie, of course. And that lie is being helped by Trump, because Trump is helping by giving a U.S. voice to the idea that, oh yeah, now it's fair. Okay, you didn't bomb for the land, but now you can take the land. He's giving a moral benediction by a bigger country and a more powerful one.
Yahoo, a deep, dark son of a bitch. Trump has snubbed Bibi on a number of occasions, and Bibi did not attend Trump's inauguration after Trump said some stuff that maybe caused some friction. It's hard to say. And then the internet.
And yeah, John Drake, you're absolutely correct. Gaza is only step one. Remember, they want it all. Give it up and they'll consider it a green light.
The internet started to notice that it doesn't look like Trump told Bibi about this announcement before the press conference where he announced it. Here, check this out.
The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip and we will do a job with it too. We'll own it and be responsible for dismantling all of the dangerous unexploded bombs and other weapons on the site, level the site and get rid of the...
Obviously, you...
So that is... People have made a big case about this little smile. That is not a smile of Bibi Netanyahu saying, oh no, that's ridiculous. No. I don't want the U.S. to take Gaza. That is not what... This was not an oppositional smile. This, at best, was a performatively oppositional smile. It was, you know, when, I don't know, when you own something and a friend comes and, oh yeah, I'm going to take your car. I just need your car for 5 minutes. And the friend is kind of joking and saying this. And they're like, oh yeah, sure. You are performatively playing as if you are offended by his request, because you know that the request itself is a performative act. You know that it's all bullshit. That is, at best, what Bibi was smiling for. In fact, maybe it wasn't even oppositional in that sense of acting. Maybe it was that Bibi was smiling because he was thinking, oh, well, if America can do an operation of demining, that means they will be there, they will blow up their soldiers, Iran will we will be able to put any sort of U.S. soldier death onto the back of Iran, and we're going to get them involved into a wider Middle Eastern war. That is why Bibi was smiling. The idea that Trump would own some part of Gaza is not offensive to Bibi, because first he knows it's not happening, to the extent that if he didn't want this to happen, it's not going to happen. But secondly, what Bibi wanted to hear was an Americanization of this issue, which he got while Trump was stating these things. So Bibi is not being uncomfortable here and Oh, Trump, you are leveraging on us. Very good. What an art of the deal, Trump. No, Bibi is just very happy because it's like, holy shit, ownership. That means we can own Gaza.
You got to watch that for yourself and come up with your own interpretation. Bibi is trying to stay behind a poker face. It's hard to tell what he's thinking. But based on his body language, I think there's at least...
He's thinking, holy shit, I've just been given a white card to do whatever I want with Gaza.
At least a reasonable chance that he didn't know about this in advance.
No, it's, even if he didn't know, it came as a positive surprise to him.
And if that's true, it kind of forces a reassessment of what's going on here.
No, you are always wrong if you think that Trump is out Jewing the Jew. You are always wrong, because Trump is absolutely a slave to Jewish interests. Trump 2024 does not exist without Jewish interests making it happen, and he knows it. And Trump's entire family is intermingled and reproducing with Jews.
Here. So let's do our best to step into Trump's shoes and look at this from something like his perspective and try to figure out what he thinks is going on.
Now, this is his defense that he said, oh, well, it's in Trump's shoes, my analysis. But later, he will also say, as far as I can see, it's the best option. So to me, he didn't just make a video about Trump's thinking. He made a video about being convinced by Trump's thinking.
Going on. And I'm not saying I endorse this, and I'm not saying that I think that Trump is right. I don't have a good solution. Because any solution where you let Palestine and Israel keep doing what they're doing will inevitably end in more bloodshed. It just will.
it doesn't have to. Police work and the arrest of people involved in criminality is sufficient to maintain bloodshed to a non-military level, a non-war level. You could imagine a situation of peace, of equality. You could imagine walls that protect the two sides and that leads to separate societies. All of this is possible. There's no reason to abandon this project in 2025.
Either you move all the Jews out and you get rid of Israel and that's full of bloodshed and problems, or you let Israel...
How is it? How is it that transporting the Israelis is full of bloodshed and problems, but transporting the Palestinians isn't? Are Israelis harder to transport? I mean, this is where you can see that he's approaching this whole thing with some moral priors that, given the situation, it's time to deport the Gazans. Why is it not time to deport the Israelis?
Israel ethnically cleanse and genocide Gaza, and that's duh. And so what Trump is doing is he's stepping in and putting the American military in Gaza and taking Gaza as an American space. And if you really think about it, that actually takes a huge amount of power away from Israel if you do that with a uncorrupted American government. In order to be uncorrupted, you'd have to do things like shut down USAID, hamstring the CIA, arrest Jeffrey Epstein, you know?
These conspiracy theorists, they think that arresting Jeffrey Epstein was a major move against Jewry. It's like, bro, Jeff Epstein... did not matter to Jewish control over American institutions. It was barely a crackdown on anything, really. And to think that the arrest of Jeffrey Epstein will be retained in history as a crackdown on Jewish blackmail in America is absolutely ridiculous. First, blackmail is not even the main process by which Jews influence American culture. Money is funding from government agencies, NGOs flowing into Jewish-controlled corporations, flowing down to Jewish speakers, Jewish intellectuals, and Jewish academics. That is the story of Jewish subversion of American culture. And I'm not even talking about Hollywood here and media and all this, but yes. So the Jeffrey Epstein little circle of extreme blackmail was not meaningful, really, culturally. It was one way of doing the Jewish thing in America, and it was too criminal to survive. But Jewish subversion continues to survive no matter where Jeffrey Epstein is.
You'd also have to expose their media control over the narrative so that way we can have an accurate assessment of what's really going on over there. And if you did all that and put American boots on the ground in Gaza, not only would Israel no longer be able to raid Palestinian homes in the middle of the night and take children prisoner for no reason, they wouldn't be able to carpet bomb civilian infrastructure because it'd be full of Americans. They wouldn't be able to block foreign aid into the country because...
So now he's laying his argument, which is, if America was there, we could make sure that there's no humanitarian rights violation. Bro. America has been in the Middle East for more than 40 years at this point. America has been violating human rights in the Middle East. America has been blanket bombing places in Iraq. There are millions of civilian casualties from the actions of America. Not only this, we were sometimes taking prisoners, sending them to Guantanamo, and having our U.S. soldiers piss on them and have dogs chew them while they were naked and humiliated. You want America to be the arbiter of and the guarantor of Gazans' human rights while they are in charge also of deporting the Gazans against their will. We would be a force of restraint against Israel's treatment of them. That is absolute insanity. Involving Americans in a conflict means they will get there. Some of them will be killed. Trump will get pissed. He will say, unleash everything you got against them. And inevitably, human rights will be violated in that process. There's no, you can't come with your blue helmets. You know, there's this very 90s thing that was, oh yeah, we're going to send blue helmet tanks. And they're not there to fight. They're just there to supervise human rights violation. Now, that may work in an African genocide that's run with machetes. That may work there because you're kind of, you're at the height of your tank. There's no way they can come at you. But in modern warfare with a Islamic resistance movement of the kind you have in Palestine, you have anti-tank action. If anything, your tank is a liability. It puts your soldiers into an easy-to-target location. You have these remote mines that are being used by the Gazans. It's not going to work. You can't be there as a neutralizing force for the conflict. So inevitably, you end up being part of the conflict. And inevitably, you will be perceived by the local defender resistance population as a hostile entity siding with Israel. So there's no way you go there and you solve the humanitarian rights violation committed by Israel. You make it worse.
Because it would be Americans. They wouldn't be able to.
Because it would be Americans. The only country to ever have been known to intentionally, with helicopters, just shoot missiles toward journalists. The only country to have been known to be peeing on their captives from the other side in the 2010s.
Able to gang rape Palestinians because they'd be protected by America.
Oh, so now the Palestinians are not getting gang raped because you have U.S. soldiers.
Americans, they wouldn't be able to occupy and continuously settle more and more land, in at least in Gaza.
So he thinks that the presence of Americans would help there not being Israeli settlement. How do you do this? Are you at war with the Israelis? Because Israel society barely can contain its own people to go settle in these places. Let us remind ourselves that Israeli society is formed by extremists who have completely obliterated the local population to establish Israel. Their government, if anything, is actually more moderate than their population, which is why you end up having protests in this country. It's the only place where I've seen any such protest. You have protests to allow soldiers to rape the Palestinian captives. The protest to not find these soldiers guilty of rape, because after all, they just raped Palestinians. You think that the U.S. being there will stop Israeli settlers from having interest, but at the same time, you're telling us that what would the U.S. soldiers be there for? They would be there to expel the Palestinians. So they would be there inevitably to do the job of the Israelis. They would be there to do the dirty work. And inevitably, there would be a time in the future where the U.S. soldiers are recalled, just like we've done in Afghanistan. We had to withdraw at some point because it's unsustainable. It's massive expenses. It's massive risks. And the Israeli settlers would be ready to take on any piece of territory that you've defended up to then.
Potentially not in the West Bank, because it would be Americans. And Hamas, which has been propped up by Israel and the corrupt deep state here in order to continue and perpetuate this conflict, would no longer be in control in order to perpetuate this conflict, because it would be Americans. And in an ideal world, it would be fine.
Well, Hamas wouldn't be there to perpetuate the conflict. Why would they disappear? Hamas stems from, presumably, well, he mentions the funding of U.S. and Israeli interest, But presumably, if Hamas has any grounding in this population, or if any terroristic network has any grounding, legitimate grounding in this population, it's because they're willing to fight and die for that land. Sending U.S. soldiers doesn't resolve this out of nowhere.
Fucking Palestinians. And the Israelis would have never even moved in and tried to take all this land for themselves, dating all the way back to like 1900. But that's, you know, we're past that part. But
see, he dismisses the idealist approach. He dismisses the idea to say, hey, we are here in the continuing genocide that's been happening for 60 years. We're just at point here. And it's like every point along the way was just a genocide in the making. It was an ethnic cleansing. They started pushing the Palestinians, and now they're pushed back to these places where they are. And they've pushed further in the since October 7th. to say, let's forget about all this, let's reset the situation to today and accept the situation of today as a basis for a pragmatic decision is willful blindfulness. You are willfully blinding yourself to reality, which is weird because he started this whole video by saying we need to consider the real thing. Well, the real thing includes the whole history of what led to the current situation. You know, you can't come into a crime halfway through and argue that, oh, well, it's about to happen anyway. Let's continue the move. No, if you're halfway through a crime, you have to ask yourself, who is committing that crime? How do I make sure that I don't participate further to that crime or even stop it from happening? Those are the only morally justifiable positions. You don't come into a crime situation and say, oh, well, the victim was about to be victimized totally anyway. So it's like, maybe I can just help for the crime to be less painful possible.
Until Trump reveals his buddy Tesla's time machine and we go back and like erase the ballot predictor, you know, we can't undo what has been done. We have to deal with the present situation and we have to try to find...
We can't undo it, but we can stop participating to it, and we can object to it.
The solution that has the least bloodshed possible. And while there are...
So this whole framing, the solution that has the least bloodshed possible, if you look at it with blindfolds on, the problem is that there are people causing this bloodshed. And you will inevitably, you will side... with the people responsible for the bloodshed, if you think like this. Like, oh, well, there's that much bloodshed happening. What do we do? Well, let's deport the Palestinians. There will be no bloodshed then. But you are. You are further victimizing the Palestinians who are not interested in your deportation operation. I'm sure if you did a voluntary survey as to how many of them are willing to move out, you wouldn't get half of the population. You won't get half of the population to voluntarily move out. Because anyway, these people are living there and have lived with the assumption that they were going to be martyrs for standing on that land. So it's a very different mentality. These people are not pragmatic thinkers that think, oh, well, you know, all things being equal, there will be less bloodshed if I move out. No, they have decided to live there and die there. And they're ready to die. And there's a mentality of martyr and sacrifice to it. If you enter this situation and side with the people who are throwing the bombs by saying, oh, well, let us reduce the bloodshed. The only moral way to do this is by reducing the bombs, not removing the victims of the bombs from the bombs. You know, it's...
are some serious colonial and ethnic cleansing concerns of moving all the Palestinians out and rebuilding the whole place in, like, an American image and allegedly allowing them to move back in, which I am super skeptical of. Not to...
And even in this defense of Trump's project, he recognizes that it would be bullshit. We would tell the Palestinian, you have a right to return. We would not honor that right ever. So we would tell them, get out of this situation now for your safety. You're going to be able to come back once we rebuild. But there's no return. Forget about this. Israel would never want this. Back now, in the future, where that return would theoretically happen, there would be another president. That other president would be also subverted by Jewish interest, but from another side of the aisle, potentially. He would have no obligation to honor that right to return. So we all know it's bullshit.
To mention,
in fact, Trump has not even committed to a right to return.
Even theorizing that they're going to leave willingly in the first place. Like, it sounds like we're about to have American troops fighting Hamas to try to get power.
Well, that's exactly. That's exactly what's going to happen. And so there you go. You are singing the anthem of the neocons. You are saying exactly what they want to hear. You are developing rationales to get us into a war in the Middle East, a war which could easily escalate into some Iranian situation with China, Iran, Russia, seeing what's happening, disagreeing, also seeing that a part of the West, even, you know, the vast majority of Western countries disagree with what you're doing there. Russia would be tempted, certainly, to fund proxies in the region, if not to intervene themselves. And so you are talking about a massive potential for escalation. All of this for what again? We owe something to Israel to handle this humanitarian situation? We need to go demine for Israel? What is this shit?
Palestinians to leave, because why the fuck would they trust Trump when they say, oh yeah, we'll build it back better for you and then let you come back? Like, they have no reason to believe that. But this is a super hypothetical.
Again, every time he says something rational that would justify abandoning his line of thought, but who's funding this? But is that how much money are you getting from USA? The Jan, I'm joking here, what compelled you to do this video that where you seem to be so contradicting with yourself?
But it's worth considering, okay? And I'm not saying I think this is the most likely or this is real or true.
Okay, well, I've considered it, and what you are talking about is inevitably leading to a massive humanitarian responsibility over the U.S. that it doesn't have to take, a massive risk of escalation into a world war, starting in that region but expanding all over the world. And there's no reason to do this. There's no rationale other than owning a little piece of land in the Middle East, really, at the center of attention. Like, can't you find oil somewhere in the Arctic? You could easily take a piece of Canada without that much trouble. Or go take a piece of Greenland with a deal. But the amount of trouble you are invoking when you talk about a resisting population of 2 million people, Islamic terrorism in response to your invasion, and the absence of a true voluntary desire to leave, and a population that's used to martyrdom and that wants to die there, you are entering a fucked up situation.
I'm just saying that it's worth considering.
Well, we have considered it, and there's too many complexities that you haven't begun to address. I don't see how you address this without a $1 trillion investment in a massive military operation that potentially leads to nuclear war.
If you really wanted to deal with Israel's influence over the United States, you would have to deal...
And this is where he does the subversion for the neocons. He's going to try to make the argument that if you're really anti-Israeli subversion, you should at least give them what they want in Gaza. That way they will have no more reason to subvert us.
Deal with their influence at home by dismantling their blackmail networks, by exposing their media corruption, and by getting rid of all of the complex, interconnected, traitorous kind of like dealings that are happening behind the scenes. And we have seen progress towards that point, no less the arrest of Jeffrey Epstein, and now the election of Pam Bondi.
Well, we know he...
Here he presents the election of Pam Bondi as an anti-Israel event, anti-Jewish subversion event. And that is so naive and stupid. Pam Bondi is a radical Zionist. Trump's new AG nominee calls Palestine supporters ignorant children. Pam Bondi, Trump's new nominee for Attorney General following Matt Gaetz's resignation, is a well-known pro-Israel figure who has previously called Israel America's most important ally. Pam Bondi is not coming for a revolution against the Jewish control of America. She's part of it. But what is the falsehood, the false trail of thought that leads Jan to believe this? It's the fact that Pam Bondi was taking issue with Jeff Epstein.
He was on the plane, not only on the plane a couple times, multiple times. He traveled internationally.
Who's openly going after Jeffrey Epstein and
Oh, so she's going after Jeffrey Epstein. So she's anti-Jewish. She's anti-Zionist, anti-Jewish control of America. And so the pieces are being placed on the board. We have Pam Bondi going after Jeffrey Epstein. By the way, Jeffrey Epstein is dead. The fact that Pam Bondi spoke of him negatively in the past is not an indicator that she understands Jewish power in America and wants to combat it. To the contrary, she kneels to it. So with this whole false line of reflection, he ends up adopting the view that if you're truly against Israeli control of American politics, invade Gaza, have a Trump tower there, some Trump ownership or U.S. ownership there, demine for the Israelis, deport the Palestinians, and root for Pam Bondi. But you're wrong, Jan. You haven't done your research. Pam Bondi is absolutely in line with Zionist interest. You fell for it, and it's... I know you're intelligent. We can see that you're intelligent. But you're delivering these little clip, these little cool hipster clip where you look cool, where you're like, I'm willing to understand all the perspectives, bro. But you got Jewed. You got fooled because of this behavior of yours, this incompleteness, and this. Your mind is so opened that you were opened to the subversion of it by the neocons.
Talking about releasing those files or something along those lines, you'd have to take away a lot of the American deep states, like intelligence agency corrupt power networks, like USAID, for example. And that would hamstring their ability to corrupt politics and, you know, policy here at home. But you'd also have to deal with what's going on over there and stop them from having this kind of endless war machine kind of excuse to get American tax dollars and to play the victim and to sort of construct this narrative around what's happening in Israel and Palestine. And taking it over for America will do that.
Wow. Do what the Jews want with Gaza, because that will lead the Jews to stop recruiting you in the Middle East. How did that work with Iraq? When we dealt with Iraq, did that, you know, we entered in war against Iraq at the request of Bibi Netanyahu in front of Congress, saying, if you take Saddam out, this is going to have positive reverberations across the area. I can guarantee you. Those were the words of Bibi Netanyahu in front of the American Congress before the U.S. went into the Iraq war. What about the Afghan war? What about all the wars that we've engaged to in the Middle East, the strikes of Syria, the strikes of Lebanon? None of it has led to a diminishment of Jewish pressure onto American geopolitics. To the contrary, as long as you show them that you are manipulatable, why would they stop? They will continue using the force of America to their own device. And to an extent, it's really our fault that we are letting them do it.
It's also the best shot that Palestinians have at actually getting like a real functioning state with an economy, with buildings, with infrastructure, with food. And let's be clear.
Well, they could have this in Palestine if we stopped funding their persecution by Israel.
I don't think Trump is doing this because he, like, identifies with the Palestinian Trump struggle. I don't think he's doing this out of, like, just the goodness of his heart, if he's even doing this. If anything, he would be doing this for his ego and his legacy, which is fine by me. And if, big if, he actually was doing this to the ends of peace and, you know, defanging Israel, then he would go down in history as one of the greatest presidents in my lifetime.
John Drake says $3 trillion later. I mean, we couldn't handle a bunch of people on camelback in Afghanistan traveling from mountain to mountain. We're going to handle an extremist population of 2 million resistance fighters.
For sure. And possibly in American history. I honestly can't think of any other way to actually address the problems of Israel. Like everyone...
Two states, solutions in which Israel is compelled not to attack the Palestinian state. And the Palestinian state is compelled not to attack Israel. That is one solution. But to not be able to see it and to see deportation as the only viable solution is totally contradictory to most of the world leaders. I mean, it's not even an unorthodox solution to think of a two-state solution.
Everyone on here loves to scream about the Jews and loves to like scream about Israel but like, do you have a solution? Because I'm not okay with any solution that involves killing Jewish people or most of the solutions, when you really get down to it, end up being genocide in the other direction. And that.
If there was a situation where there's no war between the two sides, that would not be genocidal. To an extent, the current situation is not genocidal. The Palestinians have been able to survive in Israel and to thrive and build their place to live. Not a great place, not a place I would like to be, but certainly a place sufficient for their maintenance. So it's entirely possible. If you remove the denials of rights, if you remove the oppression of the Israeli state against these people who have no paper, no access to even sometimes importing stuff, then you have definitely a possibility where there's no genocide either way. Rodi Lassid says, no Jewish extermination, but Palestinian displacement is perfectly fine for Jan. Exactly. There's definitely a double standard here where Jan has kind of accepted the current thing, the current situation as, oh yeah, we can only go in that direction.
That's not okay. We need a solution that can end the conflict, separate the parties, and basically tell everyone to take a fucking time out. And I can picture, I can imagine, I can optimistically hope that this is potentially a way to do that. And if he was doing that, it would make sense that he had kind of pulled the wool over Bibi's eyes and was playing very nice with Israel all along the way, and still to right through the process would sort of force a smile in public and present policies that they can't overtly object to, because technically it is what they have to say they want, is a peace deal. I mean, it's
not a peace deal when you deport people. It's an ethnic cleansing. So that's why Bibi was smiling, not because there was a peace deal coming. It's because he was given carte blanche on his ethnic cleansing.
It would be pretty ingenious, actually. Now, is the actual land partition in any way fair? No, not in the fucking slightest. Is the funding issue with our tax dollars cleared up? No, not in the slightest. He's giving even more money to Israel. And do I really think that Trump has the best intentions in mind? No, not really. I want to hope, but no, not really. And even if he pulls all this off, it's still kind of a selfish America-like centric solution to the problem over there that sort of puts American economic interests above Palestinian lives and interests. You know, there's the whole question of the natural gas and the oil that's over there. There's the question.
See, the problem with what Jan is saying here is it rings off neocon commentary. Why are you talking about the gas in this video? You are making all of the points that neocons would like to bring at the forefront. You are saying it's worth it. Let's do it. Let's invest $1 trillion of American money into starting a new engagement in the Middle East, not for ourselves, but for Israel, and oh, let's use the excuse that we will enrich ourselves with the oil. This is all George Bush basic propaganda level that we were hearing back in the days of you're with us or you're against us. And back in the days where you would get fired in the media if you didn't side with George Bush's Middle Eastern intervention. And it's very worrying. That's why people are fighting back toward you, Jan. It's because you are playing at a critical moment here, a set of theoretical cards that are all advantageous to the warmongering machine, and you are becoming part of it.
Question of the canal that is being talked about, the Ben Gurion Canal. It's a power play. All I'm saying is that it's complicated, and I don't feel like we know what's really going on yet. And unless you've been sitting in Trump's private meetings and know exactly what's inside his head, you probably don't know what's going on either. So stay frosty, question everything, and pray for peace.
But don't question yourself into being manipulated into another Middle Eastern war. Here he is. He is publishing a response, a follow-up to this video, because he's surprised that he's getting so much pushback.
We got to make at least one sassy video about this, because the level of just retarded screeching from the anti-Israel...
I don't think that any of the points I've done tonight is retarded screeching. They are. I am truly questioning your competence as an analyst when you misunderstand the alignment of Pam Bondi, when you misunderstand the historical role of Jeff Epstein in the overall scheme of Jewry in America, when you misunderstand the consequences of the solutions you propose in the Middle East, when you get into arguments that are pro-warmongering, that are justifying Trump's aggressive position in the Middle East, and that are ultimately placing America again in a state of service to Israel. Those are serious points. They are not retard screeching.
Crowd about all the posts that I've made in the last day or two is insane. And while their hearts are in the right place, and I generally agree with them on a lot of things, we really got to do a little crash course in reading English and in critical thinking. I'm talking about this video that I made about Trump talking about taking Gaza for the United States. Obviously, it was going to start flame wars, but oh boy, is it flamey. So let's clarify some things. And also, I'm going to share a perspective of a Palestinian here at the end, because for about 80 years, that has been the perspective that has been ignored. First off, Dr. Anastasia Maria Lupus's response, many others like this that are kind of insinuating that I'm controlled opposition or I must be paid by Mossad to post my opinions online, because I'm not deboosted or banned from X.
It is kind of weird how you have ascended into popularity, and now you come into a moment where everyone was assuming, I mean, given what you wrote to Elon, everyone was assuming you were conscious of the danger of the warmongering talking points in Israeli subversion of the American military. We would expect you to understand the danger of your false analysis here. We would expect you to understand, hey, this has happened before. And I don't know how old you are. I don't know if you were alive in the Afghanistan and Iraq times. But it questions, in a time where we discover that there's so much money flowing into American journalism for influence, covert influence operations, it's a legitimate question why you came up with neocons talking points out of nowhere, just after 6 months of good work, good anti-Zionist critique.
When all the other anti-Israel accounts are? No, all the other anti-Israel accounts are not banned. Look around.
Yes, there was a massive shutdown, and I can feel it. There's a portion of humanity that has been cut from X. The Groyper-style people, they were deprived of the platform. The anonymous accounts that tended to be edgy, anti-Zionist, a lot of them were cracked down on. Those that are still on the platform are shadow banned, in my view. In my view, we are in the first step of the resurrection of Twitter editorial censorship.
My meteoric rise must just all be for the end goal of getting the U.S. involved in Israel's wars. Right. That would be why in January I ratioed Elon.
But it's not because you ratioed Elon that your argument makes sense today. You might have stated these things to acquire an anti-Zionist audience and to eventually play a subversive role. So it's irrelevant that you were previously having good anti-Zionist talking point. In fact, I featured on my show your entire tweet to Elon. I thought it was great. But why this reversal? Why are you currently making pro-warmongering arguments at this critical juncture?
To the tune of 18 million views and 258,000 likes, telling the entire world about how fucking awful Israel is and about their extensive history of war crimes and assassinations and all sorts of other fucked up shit. That is exactly the kind of thing that Mossad would pay people to do online.
That is exactly what they would. You are saying it sarcastically. I'm saying it non-sarcastically. That is exactly the kind of work they would fund. The kind of work that absorbs the right audience but then misdirects. And so be careful when you cover for a Pam Bundy and you mischaracterize her as a new messiah, a new anti-Zionist messiah, when in fact she's pro-Zionist. That looks very much like psyop subversion. It's the kind of thing that you could do as an error, as a honest being who just happened to make an error. But it plays so much into Israeli interests that one ends up questioning whether you are just naively making these mistakes.
And everyone's questioning my meteoric rise as though it's like, oh, it must be because of this. It's like, yeah, I did have a meteoric rise, and I'm very, very grateful for that. And part of it was skill, and a lot of it was luck. But Maria, you might try actually making some content and see how it goes, because I don't think I've ever seen any content from you. I've seen like one or two photos of your face that were like selfies with other people, but you just...
Well, she's not saying that her account should be more popular. She's saying that anti-Israel accounts have been targeted for ban and for shadow banning. And there's no doubt. There's no doubt that this is the case. We've seen people have pulled the Twitter statistics. Elon Musk has even declared war. He said that these people of the Republican must be completely kicked out of the Republican Party. So definitely it's happening. And Dr. Lupus is correct.
Just repost other people's content and write words. And others have...
And you're having this very feminine attitude of, oh, well, it must be because she's jealous, because she doesn't have a big Twitter account. No, she wasn't even talking about her own account. She was saying, in general, the anti-Israel crowd has been targeted with Elon censorship, and that is a reality.
I've speculated that maybe your account was banned because you were repeatedly reposting posts using the exact wording of other people's posts without crediting them. And I don't know about if that's true or not.
Wow, and now you are bringing allegations that you acknowledge you don't know if they're true. That is as feminine as it gets. Bringing up allegations that you don't even know. So you're making these allegations wildly against a public person you don't know. Just to stir some bullshit, right? Just to poison the well.
Or not, I don't really give a shit. Whatever. You can repost my post with my exact words and not credit me. I couldn't care less. Okay, cheap shots over. That was just kind of fun. Let's talk about critical thinking. David Icke.
And he's got this whole very condescending attitude. Let's talk about critical thinking. Bro, there was a whole generation of internet influencers. They were the kind of atheist fedora tipping retards. They were talking exactly like this. And it turned out that when you were putting them on the block, when you were putting them in debate back in the internet blood sports days, they didn't have much to say, and they weren't as intelligent as they claimed to be. David Smith says, JF should get Sam Hyde on the next episode of TPS. I'll think about it.
He's been losing his mind over me for like a month now, and it's so entertaining. Out of respect for how long he's been in this game, and I mean, to be fair, I don't really know what his contributions are. I just know that he's been around for a long time. I try not to go too hard on him, except for when it's kind of fun. But this tweet is getting a lot of attention from a lot of different people, where I explore how, from the U.S. military's perspective, it is beneficial to have military bases in the Middle East. It is beneficial to...
Also a neocon talking point. The idea that, oh, you know, yes, we're spending a lot of money in the Middle East, but it's all so well-spent money. It's incredible how much. I mean, Israel is basically our bitch. Israel is doing all this thing for us. They're basically allowing an American port in the Middle East, and it's our standing, it's our outpost. This is all talking points that we've heard back in the Iraq invasion days, back in the Afghanistan invasion days. All previously used talking points.
To have land in the Middle East where you can stage your military. No fucking shit.
That is so good. Oh, now we have land in the Middle East where we can get targeted by Iranians so we can start World War III.
David and a whole bunch of other people apparently think that we're not allowed to think from other people's perspectives and consider...
Well, you did more than think in that perspective. You said that is the best option as far as I can see it. So you, those words were not Trump's words in your head. When you said, as far as I can see, what Trump is suggesting here is the best option I've ever heard, or that I can even think of right now, you were siding with this project. You were siding with finishing for Israel the ethnic cleansing that they have begun.
Consider how they see the world? Like, are we allowed to think about how the CIA sees the world, or does that make us CIA if we...
But if at the end of the argument you say, you know what, the CIA people are pretty good, I love how they think, then yes, it makes you CIA, it makes you a proponent of CIA talking points.
Even consider it. And on the reading English part, there's a second paragraph there not saying I endorse this reason.
So what was this paragraph saying? Oh, the benefits to the U.S. would be incalculable, from the profits of rebuilding to the oil and gas resources in the area to defanging Israel and breaking their monopoly over the global narrative to having even more American military presence in the region. The list goes on. Not saying I endorse this reasoning, but from a businessman's perspective, plenty of economic and geopolitical gains. Those are all things we've heard in previous invasions. The oil. Oh, they're doing it for the oil. I'm not saying I want the oil, but they're doing it for the oil. It's clear. And you had the... in the left, you had this big critique of the military-industrial complex. Oh, they're making so much money with this. It's all for money. Oh, yeah, they're laying a McDonald's to serve fast food to the army there while they're pumping the oil. So you have everyone has their pet issue in which they're trying to 6D chest what is obvious to anyone looking at the situation, which is, the oil may be there or not, it doesn't matter. The military-industrial complex may cash in or not, it really doesn't matter. We're doing this to the service of Israel. It's Bibi Netanyahu coming to request these wars. It's when Bibi Netanyahu came to Congress that America went into a war. It was on the justifications provided by Bibi Netanyahu of weapons of mass destruction. And it's again in the justification of Bibi Netanyahu that now we need to get into Gaza. So make all the story you want about oil. There's oil in... You can get oil. There's a desert in New Mexico right now. I'm sure there's places to drill that haven't been drilled yet. And if you really want a new piece of land, go pick some ridiculously cold place where no one lives in the Arctic. I'm sure there's opportunities to build oil platforms there. But visibly, if you were really into oil business, you would be absolutely stupid to target the center of the world place, center of all conflicts of the world, that Gaza is, really from a square foot perspective in terms of oil drilling opportunity, it's a fucking ridiculous decision that you'd be doing, as opposed to buying any sort of piece of land in Australia or wherever else where you could in peace drill your oil.
Reasoning, but from a businessman's perspective, i.e. Trump, plenty of economic and geopolitical gain in his worldview. And all of this is not to mention the like dozen times during the video where I said things like, I don't like this idea, I don't understand what's going on, I'm not sure this is real, I highly doubt this will work.
But then, you have to grant that it's the best project. So you may be uncertain, and you may be uncertain about the probabilities of it happening or whether Trump is even serious about it. But if in the end you say, hey, that's the best idea, you are sending America into a Middle Eastern war. You are spending trillions of dollars in the next 20 years for this to happen. If it's the best idea, Trump is going to do it.
Etc. Before we get too deep into this, let's be clear. I am not optimistic. I am super concerned. Either that Trump is going to do a half-assed job of this and then Israel will swoop in and continue what they started, or that Trump is playing everybody and it's really just a play for his donors from Israel and it's actually just an Israel thing. But there are pieces of evidence of what's going on here that point to a bigger play that we should all at least be aware of. And I'm not going to waste any more time on it. You can rewatch the video for yourself. And I'll host a space later about the whole thing where we can discuss it in more depth, because it requires a lot of depth. Because I want to get to a Palestinian perspective, because that's the perspective that matters here. And that's the perspective that everyone ignores all the fucking time. And I want to clarify that I knew when I made this video that this is the Palestinian perspective, the one I'm about to share. My video was about Trump's perspective and trying to weigh the pros and cons and what might he actually be doing and can we trust him to do it and all of that. But the Palestinian perspective arrived via email last night, and it was really touching. So here it is. So
the Palestinian perspective just comes and says he disagrees with his view of Trump's plan, and here's why. We won't get into that letter because I've finished addressing what I wanted to address tonight, which is Jan Carroll is flailing here, and it is extremely disappointing, but it was to be expected. These guys show up out of nowhere, and there's no foundations into how they see, what are their moral principles. They're really just, they're attracted to the bizarre, and they end up being attracted to conspiracies, and many of the conspiracies end up being true, and then they get interested into Jewish questions. So that's what led probably Jan into this, but I don't think he comes at it with solid moral pillars, coming into a pragmatic analysis while people are getting bombed and saying, oh, let's stop, not the bombing, but let's remove the people, let's carry the people away from the bombs, it's geopolitically misinformed, naive. It doesn't address the injustice, and it's really a way to end up siding with the strongest and end up siding with the people who oppress others. It will inevitably make you a slave of them as long as you think that way, because they will put you in a situation where you think that there's no other option. They will put you in a situation where you think you're doing the humanitarian thing by deporting people, but you're not. Deportation against a people's will on their place of living is ethnic cleansing. So if you stand for ethnic cleansing, Jan, just stand for it. In a way, I would prefer if you were open about it. Rather than say, oh, well, we have no choice at this point. This is the situation forces us to do it. Just stand for it. You stand for ethnically cleansing a part of the Middle East for the Jews to live there. But as far as your assumption that this will lead to a reduction of Jewish interest in America, it's absolutely ahistorical. Since World War II, the more the Jews have had power over American politics, the more they've demanded more after. And there is no sign that Gaza is their ultimate dream. Let me tell you, a greater Israel project with a vision toward the control of the entire region up to Iran is what seems to be much more the case than just Gaza, and then just Gaza, and then we stop the subversion, guys. No one thinks like this, especially not a Jew. Stephen Robinson says, JF, do you think an individual can learn to be principled later in life? Or are you born that way? Or must it be raised into you by parents? I tend to believe that sticking to strong principles is an innate feature that you're born with. You need a certain type of gene, of character, of genetic constitution. You need to be kind of autistic because at some point there's a trade-off between the social world that constantly asks you to make these concessions and pragmatism and the world of principles. The world of principles, you need to be kind of stubborn. If you don't have some stubborn genes, you may never be able to live by principles. So I think it's more a temperament that you're born with. And I don't think it's something that much that your parents will teach you into. I mean, I could be wrong on this. I would be open to be wrong, but unlikely to me. Unlikely. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, what people are missing is that in the case of the tariffs, it was worth bluffing because we would be willing to take on the tariffs if the bluff is called. There's no parallel here. Yeah, exactly. You can't bluff the Gazan population away from Palestine. This idea that you're going to put an offer on the table of some peaceful existence somewhere is going to be attractive to very few of them, I suspect. I suspect you're going to get very low acceptance of this offer if it's ever done in any even realistic way. So that is it for tonight, boys. Thank you for listening. And I don't know, we are Thursday. What do we have on the schedule? Let me see. Maybe I'll be there tomorrow and then maybe a break on Saturday. We'll see how the news develop. But in any case, probably see you all tomorrow. Blanket says, is Jan a neocon or just naive?